Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, October 25th, and coming up in today's episode, Farooq Abdullah warns Pakistan against terror activities and claims Kashmir will never be a part of Pakistan. Sources suggest a massive terror camp being run in Pakistan, similar to Osama bin Laden's camps. Supreme Court wraps CBI for frivolous petitions against Riya Chakrabarty. Cyclone Dana claims one life in Bengal. And Canada reverses immigration policy, adds steps to curb too much immigration. First up, after a series of terror attacks in Jammu and Kashmir, National Conference President Farooq Abdullah has warned Pakistan against its intentions of terrors. This warning comes as earlier this morning, sources suggested NDTV, that three of the biggest terror organizations in the neighboring country have set up a training camp of massive scale there. Three terror outfits, the Lashkar-e-Toiba, Hizbul Mujahideen, and Jaish-e-Mohammed, all which are banned by the Indian government, have set up a joint training camp in Pakistan's Abbottabad, in a campus belonging to that country's army. Intelligence community sources told NDTV today. The camp, sources said, is completely safe, since there is a Pakistani army camp right next door, making outsiders' access to training terrorists almost impossible without the permission of the military. An unnamed general, posted to PAC's intelligence agency ISI, is believed to be supervising the camp, which is training young men and women in multiple aspects of combat, including handling weapons. Abbottabad was where former Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden lived and operated a safe house inside a walled compound that was targeted by a United States Special Forces military unit in May of 2011. Bin Laden was shot and killed in the attack. Pakistan demolished that structure in 2012. Now Intel sources have told NDTV that the new training camp, which is unclear if it is built on the ruins of bin Laden's former safe house, a large-scale terror factory run by Hafiz Saeed, Saeed Salahuddin, Masood Azhar, the bosses of Lashkar, Hizbul, and Jaish terror outfits. All three are on anti-terror agency NIA's list of most wanted terrorists. The new camp is also understood to be a recruiting center for the three outfits. The news of the terrorist training center comes after a series of terror attacks in Jammu and Kashmir over the last few days, including last night, Thursday's attack, on an army vehicle in Baramulla district. Two soldiers and two civilians were killed in that attack, and three others were injured. And today, Mr. Abdullah said Pakistan will never succeed, as Jammu and Kashmir will never be a part of Pakistan, and called for an end to the country's promotion of terrorism in the region. He said, and I quote, "Innocent people are being killed, and we will never become a part of Pakistan. So why are they doing this? Is it to ruin our future?" He also added that Pakistan needs to look at its own country, its own development, and work on to improve that instead of focusing on terror. He said in Hindi, "Khud barbaad ho rahe hain aur hame saath barbaad kar rahe hain." Translating to, "Pakistan is destroying itself and dragging us down as well." Farooq Abdullah's comments also come amid criticism from the Bharatiya Janata Party, which pounced on a statement by Pakistan Defence Minister Khawaja Asif that NC and the Congress position on restoration of Article 370, which was mentioned in their election manifestos, were the same. After which, BJP's Amit Malviya said on X, "Pakistan is a terror state and it endorses Congress and NC's position on Kashmir." The NC had allied with the Congress under the India Bloc banner, but eventually did not need the National Party's support to win the assembly. They won 42 out of 90 seats. They were joined by four independents, and a lone Aam Aadmi Party MLA took it past the majority mark of 46. Mr. Abdullah's son Omar Abdullah took oath as Chief Minister last week. And next, CBI cannot be coming to the Supreme Court with frivolous petitions just because they have a celebrity accused, the Supreme Court said today while coming down heavily against the Central Probe Agency. Granting relief to actress Riya Chakrabarty, the Supreme Court today dismissed a petition filed by the Central Bureau of Investigation, or CBI, State of Maharashtra and Bureau of Immigration, challenging Bombay High Court's quashing of LOC, which is Lookout Circular, issued against the actress, her brother Shovik, and her father, Lieutenant Colonel Indrajit Chakrabarty, who is retired, in connection with the Sushant Singh Rajput death case. A bench of Justices B.R. Gavai and K.B. Vishwanathan orally observed that the petition was frivolous and was filed merely because the accused were high profile. quote, "We are warning you are filing such a frivolous petition only because one of the accused is a high-profile person. It will be with exemplary cost. Both persons have deep roots in society," unquote. Justice Gawai said when the CBI counsel sought a pass over of the matter. The CBI in 2020 issued a lookout circular against the three accused. In the aftermath of Sushant Singh Rajput's family filing an FIR in Patna, seeking a probe into his death, which was alleged death by suicide. Soon after the case was transferred to the CBI, the Bombay High Court had quashed the lookout circular, citing a lack of reasons to issue the same. Then the bench had maintained that the actor and her family had roots in the society and had also cooperated with the investigation. The purpose of a lookout notice with the immigration agency is that if the said persons are trying to flee the country or are spotted at any other airport, they can be detained. In that same year, Rika Chakraborty and her family were questioned in an alleged money laundering case linked with Sushant Singh's death. The Enforcement Directorate's probe focused on her income, investments and professional deals and was initiated after Mr. Rajput's family alleged she illegally transferred Rs. 15 crore from his account and drove him to suicide. In next, Cyclone Dana has completed landfall in Odisha. As the cyclone touched the coast, it uprooted trees and snapped power lines. As of now, it has also killed one person in Bengal. The storm made landfall between Bhitakarnika and Dhamra with speeds of 100 to 110 km per hour of wind. Chief Minister Mohan Charan Majhi claimed that the state has achieved its zero casualty mission as there has been no report regarding any loss of human life or injury due to the severe cyclonic storm. The state had been preparing relentlessly while Mamata Banerjee-led government in Bengal also strapped in to fight the possible terrors the cyclone could bring along with it. In Odisha, Mohan Charan Majhi-led government said that they had evacuated about 5.8 lakh people and deployed 385 rescue teams. Ms. Banerjee reportedly stayed overnight at the Nobana House, which is the state secretariat, to ensure that everything was in line in the coastal state to fight the cyclone's effect. In Bengal, Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee said 2,43,300 people were taken into shelter camps. East Midnapore and Kolkata witnessed the most impact of the cyclone and reports of waterlogging were received from several areas. The Indian Meteorological Department, or IMD, said the complete landfall of the storm took around 8.5 hours. The services at Bhubaneswar's Biju Patnaik International Airport and Kolkata's Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose International Airport were suspended on Thursday evening as a precautionary measure, but they were resumed this morning at 8 a.m. Breaking from breaking news, the latest victim of a dating app scam in NCR was traumatized after being held against will and almost kidnapped. The man met a woman on an app and then she invited him for a date in Ghaziabad. The man was asked to meet at Kaushambi metro station from where the girl took him to a place called Tiger Cafe located on the first floor of a Kaushambi hotel. Looking at the cafe, the man got suspicious. It had neither an online presence nor any signboard outside. He immediately shared his live location with a friend and dropped a message. His doubts were real, as when he was about to leave, he was handed over a bill worth ₹16,400 for a glass of cold drink, which was ordered by the girl. Upon protesting, the man was forcibly stopped and they demanded ₹50,000 in return. Since his friend was already aware of the situation, he had contacted the police by that time. Eventually, the police were able to bust a dating scam gang involving 5 girls and 3 boys. Reportedly, 4 girls are from Delhi and have high profiles all on dating apps. They call men to Tiger Cafe where they are overcharged for foods and drink. Men are held hostage until they pay the desired money. Now, back to news. Despite being seen as open to immigrants for a while, helping people from lower economic zones to achieve a North American dream, Canada is reversing its stand on immigration policies, with some Canadians going as far as to say there are too many immigrants. As cost of living soars in the North American country, general public outcry against immigrants have intensified, especially in the aftermath of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's multiple recent controversies. According to news agency AFP, Canada's population jumped 3.2% from 2023 to 2024, the biggest annual rise since 1957 and now stands at 41 million, the National Statistics Agency said. It said the rise was partly fueled by an unprecedented wave of new arrivals. Announcing the curbs, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said the influx helped the Canadian economy bounce back from disruptions caused by the COVID pandemic. But the time had come to make adjustments. Quote, "Today we are announcing that we will reduce the number of immigrants we bring in over the next 3 years, which will result in a pause in the population growth over the next 2 years," unquote, Trudeau said. Trudeau said Canada needed to stabilize its population to give all levels of government time to catch up, time to make the necessary investments in healthcare, in housing, and in social services to accommodate more people in the future. The Immigration Ministry had previously planned to let 500,000 new permanent residents settle in the country in 2025 and 2026. But the new targets were revised down to 395,000 next year and 380,000 for 2026. It set the target for 2027 at 365,000. Immigration Minister Mark Miller called the plan probably the first of its kind in terms of its broad efforts to control population growth in Canada. According to the last census in 2021, 23% of population in Canada was foreign-born. Statistics Canada said that as of 2021, most immigrants were from Asia and the Middle East, but an increasing share was coming from Africa. Nearly one of five recent immigrants were born in India, the statistics agency said. A survey last month from the Environics Institute on Public Attitudes Towards Immigration found that for the first time in a quarter century, a clear majority of Canadians said there was too much immigration. 58% of Canadians believe the country takes in too many immigrants, up 14% from 2023, the survey found. In figures released last week, Abacus data found that one of every two Canadians say immigration is harming the country. The Abacus figures also noted that concern among Canadians about the impact of immigration is mostly linked to unease regarding the perceived lack of essential resources and notably affordable housing. Miller in particular stressed that the new plans could address what many Canadians refer to as the crisis. He predicted that revising immigration targets downwards will address the housing supply gap by 2027. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.